Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
So we talk on Dense Pixels a lot about how while you can try to ignore politics, politics does not ignore you, even in the things that you love. Obviously, on Dense Pixels, it's mostly related to video games. But I was watching the European Championship final yesterday, soccer game between England and Italy. I didn't really have a dog in the race because I'm, as far as I know, I don't have nationality from either country. So I tend to root for like players from my club team. So I was kind of pulling for England to win because they hadn't won in a long time. And, you know,
they're bringing it home. They're bringing it back
it's
home.
It's coming home.
I'm sorry. It's coming home.
So the match, so England, of course, scored too early. They scored like 2 minutes into the match, which is terrible because then they just went into like a shell for the rest of the game and their tactics were horrible. Instead of playing for another goal, they just tried to defend constantly. So Italy equalized, you know, in the second half, and then they went to extra time. They went to penalties, okay, to decide the European Championship, penalty shootout. So England had brought on two substitutes very late in extra time. Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho, specifically to take penalties. Like, that's literally why they brought them on, is just because they knew they were going to penalties, so they wanted better penalty takers on the field. So Jadon Sancho had his shot saved by the keeper. Marcus Rashford had his shot go off the post. He just missed straight up. And then England had a chance to tie in the penalty shootout to keep it going, but a 19-year-old kid named Saka came up and he had his penalty saved. It was very sad. England lost to Italy on penalties. This kid like had his face, you know, buried in his shirt on the field. He's crying because he felt like he let the team down. And it occurred to me, like, I'm like, oh man, I feel bad that 19-year-old was put out in such a high pressure position. And man, it really sucks that isn't it just the most England thing to happen for, you know, those two substitutes that you bring on to, you know, to miss those penalties specifically that you brought them on for. And then I went on Twitter.
Mistake.
And no. Woke pundits, like progressive pundits, made the point that were like, man, Rashford, Sancho, and Saka all missing penalties to cost England the Euros. They're about to get a fucking deluge of racial abuse headed their way. Because what I did not mention is that all three men are black.
Oh, fucking Christ.
And sure enough, going to their social media feeds and Instagrams and things of that nature, just a abhorrent fucking slew of racial epithets being thrown at these guys, racial emojis, things of that nature as well. So bad that Piers Morgan, of all people.
A racist.
Piers Morgan, of all people, the voice of reason, on Twitter being like, it's galling that, you know, these people that they're, you know, people, you know, it's brave to step up to take penalties for your country like this. Like, you know, this racial abuse that's being thrown at them is abhorrent and not correct. Boris Johnson condemning it. Boris Johnson, meanwhile, several weeks ago, supporting British fans who boo the players who before every game since basically the Black Lives Matter protests last year now. Every player on the field in every English game in the Premier League and also during the Euros takes a knee on the field at the first whistle. They all kneel down. The whistle blows, they all kneel down for a couple seconds, and then the whistle blows again, and they start playing. That's one of the tributes they're doing. Boris Johnson said, no, boo those fine. Boo the players for doing that. It's fine to express your opinions at a political demonstration. And then he wonders why fucking England fans feel emboldened to fucking throw racism at black players on their club. So
yeah, I mean, look, I didn't watch it. I just kind of followed the just a talk on I followed a little bit of it on social media. Mm-hmm. It's the least surprising thing of all time.
No, it's absolutely the least surprising thing of all time. Yeah. Just a good reminder that any country that kind of craps on us for racism has probably a lot of issues that they need to deal with. 100%. On their own, and that we still have a long way to go everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And that is the story, by the way, in the wake of the fucking Euros yesterday. Normally people would be talking about, oh, you know, England choked it away and you know, Italy, what a huge win. It's all about the reaction to the folks that missed the penalties. So,
right. And again, one of the things that is really fucked up mm-hmm. is that if that's the first thing you come to, you know, racial epithets and sending these racist emojis, I'm sure there's plenty of monkey emojis or whatever, because these people have the brain power of an actual ape.
That in Europe, by the way, that is the preferred insult to use. So.
Of course, of course. I mean, they're a classy group. Yeah,
they don't really know what the N word is, but they definitely.
Oh no, sir, sir, yes they do.
Okay,
they have their own version.
Okay.
Look, nignog is a funny word. It is. It's a funny word, dude. It is. Don't use it. Don't do that. It's a funny word, right? That's their go-to. But if that's the first thing that you go to, mm-hmm. it just goes to show you how close to the surface your racism truly is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't yell cracker ass cracker if a white person cuts me off in traffic. It might be the third thing I say, but it's not the first thing I say. That's crazy, right?
Like, yeah, what do you usually say, asshole?
Or yeah, like, yeah, you fucking dickhead. What are you doing? Like, I go to general insults, right? Also, I never understand shitting on like professional athletes for like missing a penalty kick or like not, you know, hitting a three pointer at the buzzer. You fucking suck, bro. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on this high level sporting. I'm doing this high level sporting event and I didn't nail it in the exact time of need. My bad. I'm a human. Like, I'm not a robot, you dickhead. I get you're upset, like, but relax. Again, I will stand by this. Sports fans are the worst fans. Like, hands down, they are. Though I would make a running that Star Wars fans are worse, but that's
so Star Wars fans are 100% worse.
Yeah, they're worse than sports fans, but yeah. that doesn't mean sports fans are good. Like,
there's a certain level of self-loathing within every sport fan that a Star Wars fan just doesn't have. They just have emboldened entitlement all the time.
That's 100%. That's 100%. Like there's a Bill Burr joke, and he's like. Like, women are smarter than men. And all the women are like, yeah, that's right. He goes, don't take it too seriously because dogs are smarter than women. And like, I'm just being a dick. Just to like get them all round up to just shit on them immediately, right? It's the same thing with sports fans. Yeah, you're not the worst, but trust me, you ain't at the bottom. So yeah, no, racism is everywhere, guys. It's everywhere. Yeah. Turns out. They need a little bit of critical race theory in soccer now. Maybe they'll teach that, huh?
Racism has been a major problem in soccer, European soccer specifically, since
they let a brown person play. Brown person scored a goal on a white person, they were like, right. Fuck this. That's where it comes from.
But the thing is that players over there are actually pretty good at kind of taking a stand for it, and you do see a lot of unity on clubs. Like there's literally players who have been abused that have walked off the pitch and their team has basically joined, or both teams have basically joined them in doing so. They're basically like, fuck this. Like, this is how it's going to be. See ya.
Yeah, see no, that, that's so. The correct move. Yeah, that'll never happen in this fucking country. You can forget it. All right, so let's jump right into it. Yeah. Brad, this is all about you, first of all.
Yeah, so we got some demographic information from Pew Research Center about the 2020 election, and people tend to wait for the Pew study quite a bit because they use a ton of data to bring their points forward. So this is not like straw polls. This is actually real fucking hard data that they can use to show how demographics trended and how things have changed over the last couple election cycles. And a lot of what you would expect to see is here. Like, if you're looking at 2016 and 2020 specifically, things are pretty consistent. 2018 was a huge Democratic turnout, and that's thanks to Republicans really not showing up at all in 2018, which if they want to sit at home in 2020 as well, by all means.
Yeah, no, please. Allow us to encourage you to do so.
Go right ahead. But there is some... there is some interesting statistics to check out from the Pew data that we have here. So, and I'm comparing 2020 Biden to 2016 Clinton. Biden gained a 3% share of college grads over Clinton from the previous election. He also he actually lost a little bit of some college folks or less, basically. So basically high school graduates, which is not that surprising. But for white non-college graduates specifically, he picked up 4% over what Clinton did the previous cycle.
Then has everything to do with the fact that he's a guy and she's a woman.
Very much so.
Everything.
But here's some more interesting data. So let's take a look at voters by political affiliation from 2016 to 2020. So Democrats came out a little bit harder for Biden than they did for Clinton. Mm-hmm. Actually, a lot harder. 90% compared to 84 for Clinton. But Republican turnout kind of stayed the same for the most part. And here's the biggest swings. Ready? So in 2016, Trump won 79% of moderate and liberal Republicans. So more, you know, right of center Republicans, essentially, to Clinton winning 8% of those voters. In 2020, Trump still won 79% of those voters. He kept his margin exactly the same among moderate Republicans. But Biden doubled Clinton's share of the vote. He got it to 16%. Likewise, moderate Democrats, 85% of them went for Clinton in 2016. 8% went to Trump. In 2020, 7% went to Trump. So again, Trump held relatively stable.
Right.
But 91% of those Democrats.
91 from what? What did you say? 85?
From 85 went to Joe Biden.
Look, man. I hate to say this. I truly do, because it's really bothersome to me. 30 years of saying Hillary Clinton killed people and she's the most corrupt politician and all this fucking bullshit about Hillary Clinton, right or wrong. And a lot of it is made up nonsense. That shit worked not on just Republicans. It also worked on Democrats. It did. Because it's not like Joe Biden is like some pinnacle of progress where it's like, wow, Joe Biden is like crazy different. Like, Joe Biden occupies the same wing of the party as Hillary Clinton does.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he does. But there is just this built-in distrust for this woman, which I don't think is all that justified. Like, I just don't think it is. And again, that doesn't mean like I think she's like, I don't know, Sandra Day O'Connor reincarnated or something. Like, I don't. But, or like, here comes Ruth Bader Ginsburg Clinton. Like, no. But at the same time, I don't think she's as evil as people think she is. Like, I think it's ridiculous.
So I think that's part of it. I'm also looking at generational information now. So there's a study that shows the breakdown by generations and how they voted. Millennials, my people. Voted
gross
56 to 31 for Clinton in 2016. In 2020, we increased that to 58, but Trump increased his share to 39% of millennial voters, which cut into the margin by about 6%. Meanwhile, Gen Xers, Jay, come get your people. 49 to 43 for Clinton in 2016, and only 51 to 48 for Trump in 2020.
Yeah, we're not doing great.
Right, Gen Z lined up along the same path as millennials did as far as Biden Trump turnout. Obviously, Gen Z could not vote in 2016, so they were not counted. Here's what a lot of this data.
The silent majority.
Get fucked. Yeah, not anymore. They're slowly being very loud on their deathbeds and becoming a minority very quickly.
Great. I mean, yeah, but this does bode well, by the way. This bodes very well for the future, right? Like, now as people get older, they get more conservative, because my generation is about to come in and just we're just going to be the worst. Like, just the worst.
Yeah.
We're so disaffected, because we were supposed to be big change agents, and we've done largely nothing.
The big stat that everyone touted, though, before the election. So looking at voters by region, suburban voters, 45 for Clinton in 2016, 47 for Trump.
That's crazy.
Right. But that flipped to a 54-43 swing in Biden's favor in 2020.
That's what killed him. Like, I mean, look, he was getting – I mean, it doesn't look good. Boy, look, you say what you want. Don't talk about cities, man. Like, if you don't live in – don't try to shit on the cities, man. Urban voters – gave Hillary Clinton a 46-point margin over Trump in 2016.
Yeah.
46? And then in 2020, only 33? Come on, man. Come on. That's crazy. Like, Biden is lucky that he picked up so much from suburbia because he lost quite a bit in the urban environment.
He did.
I think it's because, like, I wonder what the rationale is there, right? Like, is it because urban voters were like, oh, this is our chance to have the first female president, mm-hmm. right? And so they're like, they're going like super big in the cities. But then in 2020, they still wanted somebody like – they wanted someone progressive or more progressive, you know. And people in cities tend to be more progressive, right, because those policies tend to hit them like more directly.
Right.
And then they're like, all right – we'll go with Grandpa Simpson over here, but at a significantly lower margin. But Biden's sort of folksy everyman sort of style actually worked with suburban folks more to pull the numbers even, which is kind of interesting, and actually pull them over the top.
Well, here's what a lot of this tells me is that a lot of this tells me that at least for now in the short term, if Democrats are going to win, they have to be the actual big tent party.
Yeah.
And that means that progressives have to be more open to moderation and moderates have to be more open to progressivism in order for us to make it under this whole big tent. So you can sit there and get upset with moderate Democrats and bang on them and you know, talk about how, oh, they're basically Republicans and any other thing. But here's the problem is that you ain't winning without him. Like we talked last week about, you know, sometimes you got to take half a loaf and because that's the only option that you're given or you get no loaf at all. Yeah. And you can't just sit there and say, well, I want the full loaf and just remain steadfast in your views. Like I said, some really good data in here. It's very interesting. Here's what I do know. The truly greatest demographic of anyone when it comes to voting, atheists, Jay, 87 to 11 in support of Biden, following up our 88 to 9 performance in the 2018 midterms as well. We know what's up. We know what's up.
Yeah, we're smart. but it's just science. No, if you're an atheist, you're a science-minded person. And that's not to say religious people aren't science-minded, right? Yeah. Less so. But, I mean – I'm not trying to be a dick, but like, yeah, less so. Okay. Like we don't have to be liars here. But if you're a science minded person, especially if you're not a religious minded person, but you're a science minded person, COVID's going on. Like who's voting? Like, I feel like the 9% of people or whatever it was that voted for Trump who were atheists, I feel like those people are like, let's see how many Christians they could kill off. what are you voting for? Right? Like, what are you voting for? There's a plague and this guy's doing nothing. This guy's doing absolutely nothing, but you're like, yeah, whatever. That's fine. How? No, those 9% of people are either trolls or just nihilists. they don't believe in religion. They don't believe in anything. I believe in things, just not that.
And I also have learned that from this data that we need to be more fair to Catholics, only a little more fair, but we need to be more fair to Catholics because it's really Protestants that are fucking everything up. It's not Catholics that are fucking everything up.
What are the numbers, Brad?
So Catholics
change my mind, Brad.
Catholics went from 8% margin Republican in 2016 to 6% in the midterms to 1% in 2020.
Wow. Okay.
Protestants went 17% Republican in 2016 to 18% to 19%. So they're moving further to the Republican side, especially white Protestants. Black Protestants?
No, yo, black Protestants are mad. Dude, black Protestants give less of a fuck than atheists. Apparently. Jesus Christ. You know what? I take the science-minded part back. I apologize. I'm sorry. Black Protestants, they know what's up. They're at 82%.
Yet I feel like Jesus. I feel like you would take the black Protestants and you would zero in on like that 9% number that still voted for Trump and be like,
no, I have a problem with those people. Like, what are you doing?
That's like being a minority and still trying to be a Republican, even though they're hurling insults at you at a conference and you still think that you're a part of that team.
Yeah.
More on that later.
Actually, I take it back. White Catholics are also pretty bad. Hispanic Catholics are the only reason that it's skewing the Catholic numbers back to the reason. So again, we really just come down to the fact that it's white people that are the actual
problem. Every fucking time. Every time. What is their problem? Brad, the next time you guys have a meeting,
I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
Yeah, like, I have data. White people, what are we doing?
Like, this is a problem, guys.
Are you guys aware of what we look like out there? It's not looking good for us. I feel like you, as the representative of white people on this podcast, you have to tell white people to get their shit together. It's getting out of hand.
Well, you know what they say. We are a monolith, us white people.
That's what I say. You're all the same. Wow, black Protestants fucking it up. God damn. All right, black Protestants, I see you. I don't agree with you, but I see you. Jesus Christ. Yeah, apparently people who attend religious services monthly or more often than that skew about 19 points towards Republicans. And people who are smart enough not to go often.
don't get brainwashed.
it turns out. Like, what does that say? What does that say? Is that the people who I know what Republicans would say. Those are people who believe in more in God and they realize a saint when they see it. And the other people go, yeah, all right, I believe in God, but like that guy fucks porn stars, man, and cheats on his taxes. Why are we supporting him? Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird.
There's a lot of commonalities between Protestant Christians and Trump. They're both begging for money all the time. They're both kind of participating in the grift, you know? You know what I mean?
Kinda. Isn't Trump's like a spiritual advisor, like that woman he clearly wants to fuck? Isn't he like a Protestant? Dude, he does.
Who doesn't he want to fuck? Come on.
Eric?
I can't say
Ivanka, that would be a lie.
Like I guarantee you, like, the Hope Hicks memoir is going to come out one day and it's going to talk about like a sexual, like, I was steaming his pants one day and he pulled.
He's when he dies. Oh, she's definitely going to write that book. She's like, it's going to be called Pants Steamer, the life and times of Hope Hicks. I was on my knees steaming his trousers one day. It was amazing. His tie touched the top of my head. I thought it was something else, but turns out his tie was just really long.
did I tell you that the other day? So I have a wedding I'm going to in a couple weeks. First time since, you know, the fucking pandemic.
Oh, please tell me it's at Mar-a-Lago. Please tell me it's at Mar-a-Lago, asshole.
This is funny. So like I mean, listeners, you might not know. I've lost a lot of weight in the last like 8 months, basically, like over 60 pounds. And
holy shit, so, little Brad out there looking svelte.
Little bit. And so I tried on my suits that I had, and they're not fitting right now. And my wife's like, how do they fit? I'm like, they've got a very Trump cut to them
right now. are the bottoms of your pants under the heel of your shoe?
Basically that, like the jacket's like hanging loose off the front. Yeah. You know.
Just go buy a new suit, Brad.
we'll go buy a fresh new suit. But like I said, we gotta have like a form fitting suit. We gotta get that shit tailored. As we've mentioned on the show, there's no way in hell that Donald Trump has paid a single dime to a tailor ever.
Never
in his life.
Get it off the rack. Yeah, and you can buy a suit off the rack. Just get it tailored. Oh my God, what a loser! That guy's got quote unquote $1 billion, but can't pay $20 to get some guy to put pins and chalk marks at the bottom of your pants like an adult. Get out of here! Get out of here! What a loser! Yeah, shout out to Black Protestants this time. Shout out to atheists and agnostics, very smart people. And shout out to religious people who don't go to church very often. Micah. See? Micah and I, not that different. Not that different. I mean, the numbers are only 18 to Democrats. Could be a lot higher, I feel like.
Should be a lot higher. Come on. What are we doing?
Like, again, your guy was all about, like, treating people well and not lying and grifting people out of cash. But, you know, whatever. I guess he's your guy. Like, doesn't make sense. Jesus was cool, I guess. A lot cooler than Trump. I mean, one existed and one doesn't, but whatever. It's another thing altogether. All right, let's get into Trump is suing Facebook and YouTube and Twitter for censorship. Former President Donald John Trump is suing Facebook, Twitter, and Google's YouTube over their suspensions of his accounts after a mob of his supporters attacked the U.S. Capitol in January, which he definitely pushed for. So the suit calls for the court to, quote, to order an immediate halt to social media companies' illegal, shameful censorship of the American people. We're demanding an end to the shadow banning, a stop to silencing, and a stop to the blacklisting, banishing, and canceling that you know so well.
So he definitely dictated that statement then in that case, with that you know so well at the end of the that.
No, I'm not buying it. I think his secretary wrote that shit, and then they just put it in Trumpian language. He's not shadow banned anywhere. He's not shadow banned. He's banned. Okay, right. I've been shadow banned before. He's not shadow banned. He's banned.
So if you are a real lawyer. Like not like a fake lawyer, not like a Kraken lawyer, but I mean, if you're a real lawyer,
he doesn't have access to those, Brad.
How can you put your name on a lawsuit suing a company for censorship, which violates the First Amendment, when that company is not owned and operated by the U.S. government? Who is who the First Amendment protects against the restriction of speech by.
I'm going to Google what the First Amendment is to verify what you're saying. Because I don't know that that's correct.
Because I'm
Alan Dershowitz, and I'm trying to sell a book to rubes.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, like, people are like, man, like, Alan Dershowitz is just fucking selling himself like crazy, like going on TV saying shit he knows is wrong. And I'm just like, as soon as that dude decided to represent OJ, I feel like we should have all realized what Alan Dershowitz was all about.
Well, I mean, he kept his pants on, bro. So according to Google, which I know is obviously a part of this lawsuit. So,
they probably doctored the actual First Amendment text.
So, take this with a grain of salt, guys. I'm going to read this. I don't know if you've heard this before.
Can we go to Getter to get the First Amendment definition to get a more accurate source?
I don't know. I don't know if we can trust it. Amendment 1, I think, is what this says. Quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of speech. Congress shall make no laws. That's the government, isn't it, Brad? I don't know, man.
I think they meant like Congress. Like, you know how like Facebook has a Supreme Court at Facebook that Mark Zuckerberg made? I think they also have like a Facebook Congress as well, where they have people that vote on things. Okay, so I'm pretty sure that when the Founding Fathers wrote this back in 1789, they were talking about the Facebook Congress.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Not like the U.S. government, Congress.
Yeah, no, that's fake news.
Yeah.
Everyone who's involved in this from a legal perspective should be disbarred. Yeah. Immediately. Yeah. Everyone. This is a bullshit argument. Like you said, Facebook, Google, and Twitter are not the federal government. Like, look, I don't believe that Trump for a second thinks that he could win this, nor do I think that he believes that this is a First Amendment. Like, well, let me rephrase that. Nor do I think his lawyers believe that this is a First Amendment issue.
They are well aware
of what it really is.
Oh,
and
yes,
it's just a way to get his cult to get amped up. Right. It is literally the culmination of what happens every time Republicans go, "This is a free speech issue. You're stopping us from doing this." Where everyone on Twitter and Facebook goes, "That's not what the First Amendment is. This is not the government telling you what to do. This is a corporation. Look, you assholes have given corporations all these rights. This is your fault, right?" Yeah. Had you not done this.
This is the bed that you have made for yourself to lay in. Had you let Democrats run wild with regulations and stuff like that, that you seem to hate, shit like this could potentially be prevented. I don't necessarily want it to be prevented. I think that Facebook and Twitter should be allowed to remove people who are being harmful on their platforms, as Donald Trump was, who literally incited an insurrection, among other things,
right,
on Facebook and Twitter. But yes, like you said, it's like me sowing. Woo! This is great. This is fucking awesome. Me reaping. What the fuck?
This is bullshit. Who put all these seeds here? You did. You idiots. I find it hilarious that anybody would bring this as a real life case. Also, there's an aspect to this that's hilarious, that in the terms of service for both – I believe it's for both Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
They say you have to sue them in federal court or in the state of California, and these cases have all been filed in the state of Florida. So they're – and not on the federal level.
They don't have standing technically, which is bullshit.
Bullshit. It's 100% bullshit.
It's still – but you didn't – like I joked to you – like I joked in our Discord, like even lawyers don't read the terms of service. And just in case you were curious, Trump Jr., not actual Trump Jr., but Ron DeSantis, Florida governor, had his law that he passed that we talked about on the show a few weeks ago, where they could penalize social media companies for blocking politicians. Yeah, federal judge knocked that shit down toot sweet and was like, yeah, this probably violates the First Amendment. Happened last week. So,
You know why that wasn't big news? Because no one thought that was actually going to be held up.
Yeah. Well, like you said, I wish there was a term that you could use to apply to something. Like when you're trying to do something that you know is ridiculous, but you're just doing it so that you can kind of express like your mindset or virtues, like some kind of signal, virtue signal that you could send out to everybody to let them know how you feel about something.
Some kind of signal. Holy shit. Like a Batman thing. Yeah, definitely. They're so and the Republicans are the ones who are all, you guys are virtue signaling. That's what you're doing. It means nothing. This means nothing. This is a waste of time.
That's all. Like we say, Republicans are projecting all the time. The reason that they complain about virtue signaling is because they themselves are the greatest virtue signalers. All they know is virtue signaling. That's what fucking throwing your coffee maker off of your fucking third story balcony is. It's virtue signaling. That's what burning your Nikes that you already paid for in a parking lot is.
Yeah, and they're Nike Monarchs. You're not burning like Jordans. Get out of here. You're burning the ones you cut your grass in. Shut up. But he's wearing those. You got them at TJ Maxx. Knock it off. Turns out this is a bullshit case and will go nowhere. But apparently he's just going to waste money. But my guess is not really, because this is probably money he's just grifted from you idiots. Oh,
absolutely. With his $100 minimum recurring donations that he's collecting from people. Absolutely. They're paying for this frivolous bullshit to be argued in court and to eventually get taught to, sorry, not even to get struck down at SCOTUS, to get not heard at SCOTUS.
Dude, it's like, never going to make it to the Supreme Court.
They're not even going to hear the fucking case. And right. then he's going to complain, what about you three judges that I put on the court specifically to do my bidding? How dare you do this to me? And they're just like, Donald, shut up. Like, you're giving away the game. Shut up.
Brett Kavanaugh's like, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I was doing a cake stand. My bad. Sorry about that. What? Crazy. And Amy Coney Barrett it was too busy yelling at women in her cult. Yikes. Next up, transphobic abuse hurled at one Caitlyn Jenner at CPAC, at a CPAC conference, called, quote, a sick freak, and was dead named. If you don't know what dead naming is, obviously Caitlyn Jenner used to go by Bruce Jenner, and you purposely call the person by the name that you know they don't identify with to hurt them. Yeah, look, Andy and I had a wonderfully hilarious conversation about Caitlyn Jenner months and months ago about how liberal we all are and how we obviously respect Caitlyn Jenner as a woman, as she is trans, and that is perfectly fine. She's a piece of shit, but she is a piece of shit, right? Like she sucks as a politician. She sucks as a general person next to politics, but she's still a human being, and you should treat her with respect from that perspective. But, you know, she can take a flying leap as far as I'm concerned. I don't get this. I don't fucking understand this. I am a black man, and I cannot understand why, as a minority or someone who is a part of the group that the Republican Party actively hates, would you rush to get kicked in the teeth over and over and over again by them? What are you sad, Caitlyn? You sad that the assholes who've been calling trans kids pieces of shit or paying for therapies to try to change them, which causes suicides in trans kids, you're surprised that these pieces of shit don't like you? You're surprised? Surely you're not surprised.
Surely she is surprised, because every single one of them thinks, oh, well, it can't possibly happen to me. I'm different somehow. I'm gonna stand above. Like, I'm going to be the one that changes things. Like, that's, I think that's part of it. Another thing is Caitlyn Jenner is wealthy. She's rich. She has lots of money. And ultimately, when most people support Republicans, I feel like, especially like rich people, I'm not talking about fucking poor podunk white people that support them for all the fucking social reasons. I'm talking about rich people that are able to hold their nose with all of the other bullshit, because the Republican Party protects their money, because that protects their assets.
Yep.
At the end of the day, that's all that really matters. And they're willing to stomach all the other stuff that comes with it if it means that they can pay less in taxes, or it means that their kids can inherit more money from them, or, you know, they can manipulate the stock market, or, you know, run their corporations with fucking reckless abandon kind of bullshit. So,
yeah, look, man, I can't imagine putting money before my own humanity.
That's why you're not a Republican.
Now, I can't imagine putting my money before others' humanity. Which means I could be wrong. Now, I'm kidding. Relax. But, like, I just don't understand, like, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Like, is it worth it? Like, they're calling you like a piece of shit. They're calling you all these names. They're heckling you. They're chasing you and all this other shit. And you don't think to yourself, you know what? I've been through all I've been through. And look, Caitlyn Jenner is a rich person. You know, she was an Olympic star, and like, she's tacitly related to that fucking group of fucking grifters, high-heeled grifters over there. God bless them. Like, and she's lived this like crazy life, and she's finally able to come out and be who she is and all this other shit. And then to see kids suffering from that and suffering alongside your journey and all this other shit, and you still think that you're different from them? You're not different from them. Look, I'm a, like, I'm not like, I joke that I'm like this rich person. You know me. I'm not. I live in a very moderate, reasonable house for a rich person. And I only have two pools, guys.
For a rich guy, I'm basically living in a shanty.
So. Yeah. $400,000 a year? Is it middle class? As I saw some rich asshole, right? I'm like, what? Joe Biden is taxing people at $400,000. He's going to ruin the day. He ruined regular people's money. $400,000 is regular people money? Get the entire fuck out of here. Cool. Give me your regular money then, you asshole. So, like, I by American standards, I'm well-to-do. I'm not rich, but, I'm perfectly well-to-do, right? I can't imagine looking at poor black people. By the way, I grew up like relatively poor. Like, I can't imagine looking at poor black people and be like, those are not my people. I'm rich. Fuck them. Like, at the end of the day, what my paycheck says and what it doesn't say and what theirs says and what it doesn't say doesn't change the fact that I'm still a black man in America. Right. A cop pulling me over ain't going to be like, hold on a second, let me see your fucking weekly pay stub.
Yeah, let me see your pay stub so I can see if this is legit.
If anything, he's like, what the fuck are you doing in this car you stole? I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. Right? So, like, this idea that you're separating yourselves as a minority from other people who don't have your wealth or access, I don't fucking get it. I just don't understand how you can do that. I look at George Floyd's video and I think, holy shit, that could be me. Like, I don't see a difference between him and I. Like, I don't see a separation between him and I. I just don't. Mm-hmm. And apparently Caitlyn Jenner does. And for that reason, and not that reason alone, but that's a pretty good reason to never support someone like that. Because if she can't see herself in the same vein as moderate income or poor trans people, how the fuck does she possibly see herself as a politician, as a person, let alone trans or not? How does she see herself in line with other people who don't have her money or access? Right? Whether they're black, white, straight, gay, whatever, male, female, whatever. She clearly sees a massive divide between herself and those people. Right? These are the type of questions or things that should be proposed by people like Thugs of News to Caitlyn Jenner. Like, what is the difference that you see between yourself and trans people? Well, I don't see any difference between them. Then why do you think that you're different than them? Like, you clearly think so. You think those people would be accepted? Like, that's the thing is, do you think that a trans 25-year-old who's working at Starbucks would be accepted at CPAC? Of course you don't believe that. In your heart of hearts, you don't believe that. So right. Why do you think that you should be? Because you have money and access. Then that's the difference between you and them. And that's fucked up.
And there is something to be said of needing to be in the fight if you want to change
anything. Absolutely.
And I
100%
agree
with that.
Like I look at a guy and I hate to use him as an example constantly for stuff like this, but since he's the only fucking minority that Republicans can elect to significant office. Like, I look at Tim Scott, for example. And Tim Scott, I truly believe that Tim Scott is a person that has real conservative values. But Tim Scott also has not forgotten that he's black. Tim Scott also does a lot to fight for, like, criminal justice reform and things of that nature, and has acknowledged several times whenever things, you know, happen to black people in this country that there's no different between me and him. Like Tim Scott has talked openly that he's talked to his white colleagues, his white Republican colleagues, about being pulled over in D.C. all the time. Like, he's been pulled over several times because Tim Scott can't ignore the fact that he's black. I disagree with Tim Scott politically, but I understand why Tim Scott feels the need to be in the Republican Party, because he is actually trying to fight for change in the Republican Party and trying to make the party more inclusive, and he has to do that from the inside.
Okay.
But he goes along with a lot of fucking horrendous bullshit to get there.
So I'm going to disagree with your police work there, Margie, just a bit. I think you're largely correct. I don't think Tim Scott is like – I don't think Tim Scott is a disingenuous person, right? Like, I don't think he's like, I don't believe any of this shit. I'm trying to get that money. I don't believe he's that type of guy. I think he does have true conservative values. I don't agree with them. And that's okay. Like, you know, like, we don't have to condemn everybody we don't agree with. But, like, Tim Scott said, like, America's not a racist country. And I'm like,
yeah, well, that's nonsense.
That is nonsense. Like, also, like, you're the same guy who's told us how you've been pulled over several times.
You don't believe that that's true.
Right. He doesn't believe that's true. So that's a lie, right? Yeah. That's a lie to make white conservatives feel good so that they can feel good about supporting him.
Yes.
He's from South Carolina. Get the entire fuck out of here. Racism doesn't exist. Tim, are you from a magical place in South Carolina? Like a ranch where there's like nobody comes. It's like a magic bubble. You go in and it's perfect. It's 2059. Like, get the fuck out of here. No, you live in a state that has got some serious racist history and racist current events. Okay. So that idea behind him fighting for change inside the party, yes and no, right? Because I think he is trying to make it more inclusive for black people, but I don't think he's doing it in a way, not just that I don't agree with, though I don't agree with it, but I think that he's doing it in a way that he thinks that by ignoring the past or downplaying the past or even downplaying some of the present shit will somehow just bring people in and then hopefully there'll be enough minorities and then they could just move on, right? Like, yeah. There is definitely a contingent, and I can't speak to other minority groups. I'm not in them. I don't go to their monthly meetings as I do with black people. but there is a contingent in black folks of black people who don't want to look at the past. They just want to move forward. And look, I can understand it. Like, it's exhausting, right? It's exhausting to fucking deal with our history. It's exhausting. We should. But it's exhausting, and that's a fair perspective. But when it comes to politics, you don't get to do that. You don't get to say, don't worry about it. Let's just move forward. No, because you are passing laws. You are ratifying. You are reifying laws that were designed to hurt people of color. Like, they were designed that way. Or to overly benefit white people. You could say it another way, right? But they are definitely codified in American law, like emblazoned in lightning, are laws that are designed to benefit white people over black people or to directly like shit on minorities as hard as they possibly can, right? We're seeing it with voter restriction laws, right? Like, and those things aren't written 100 years ago. They're written today. So yeah, Tim Scott, I get it. Like, I don't hate the guy. I really don't. And I can respect a difference of opinion. But when you say things like America's not a racist country, not only are you lying to your colleagues in the Republican Party, you're lying to yourself. You know that shit is a lie. You know, you go home and you go, I was wilding today. Like, yo, I was wilding. Holy shit. You hear what I said? That was crazy. Like, he doesn't believe that. Of course not. What, does he believe it as the 15th cop pulls him over that night? Like, come on. He doesn't believe it. So, but you can't fix the future if you're unwilling to deal with the stuff in the past. Like, you're unwilling to. So yeah, like, it's weird. It's very weird, but I agree with like 65 to 70% of what you said, but like that critical part of like, he's truly fighting. He is, but in a weird way. It's a weird way.
Well, look, I'm not saying that he's getting down in the trenches, but I don't think that he sees himself like separate and apart from the black experience in America. Or at least that's not the impression that I get from him.
I would agree with you there. I don't think he sees himself as separate and apart. Obviously, Brad got offended that I called him out on his Tim Scott Stan account.
Who did he take over for? I can't remember when he first got in there.
I was just gonna. Obviously, this isn't true. Just like Strom Thurmond.
No, that is about 10 years too early on that one. But, yeah. but wouldn't that be something if that was the case?
Wow. Yeah. Look, I don't hate Tim Scott, but I have some deeply serious issues.
I mean, I very much dislike things about him because, like I said, it's the cynicism that all Republicans have to swallow. It seems like that. he partakes in 100%. So, but yeah, he's also not getting chased out of CPAC by someone calling him, you know, the N word like crazy.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
Nope.
Wait, is that Tim Scott's wife? Word? Oh, no, that's his chief of staff. All right. I was like, yo, what? I was like, you know what? Shout out to Tim Scott. God damn. All right. All right, play. I'll see you out there. But alas. So, yeah. Okay. Next up, Lynn Wood, noted lunatic.
This fucking guy.
Says he blames Trump's other lawyer, Sidney Powell, for dragging him into the election fraud case.
Boy, howdy, is there ever no honor among thieves?
Oh, they're just knifing each other in the back.
Knives are out.
I love it. I love it.
Stop it. Let them fight. Come on.
That bitch. I can't believe she's did this to me. Yo, you are an insane person. Like, Lynn Wood is a legitimate crazy.
She's not even a real lawyer. She said so in court. Her lawyer said so.
I electronically signed this. This doesn't count. Like, nah, don't do that. Lynn Wood, quote, for whatever reason, whoever filed the complaint put my name on there. I didn't have any specific involvement. Really, dude?
Except for all of you arguing in court that I did.
So is there any chance if you pull up one of these guys, you could get them to flip?
I mean, the problem is they're not going to get hit with anything flip worthy. Like they might get hit with like fines and stuff like that. They might even get disbarred or not able to practice law, but they're not going to go to jail.
I feel like you might be able to get them to flip if you say you're going to get fucking disbarred. Lynn Wood's got grifting to do, man. That's his business.
Lynn Wood can get disbarred and go fucking run for office in Georgia somewhere. Like Jesus, he would too. 100% his next move is to become a politician. 100%. He's going to try to use the fucking the cue that he picked up from this fucking from all this bullshit, run for office. He'll find the reddest ass area with like a relatively moderate like representative. He'll fucking carpetbag his way there. He'll win. And then fucking him and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz will all form the MAGA caucus in the fucking house.
Okay. Well, hold on. That sounds like a very likely scenario, which I hate you for saying it. but let's get it real. Gates ain't gonna be there to do that. He going to jail. He going to big boy jail.
Man, can you imagine MAGA caucus leader Louis Gohmert on the House floor? How amazing would that be? Tyler's not voting Louis Gohmert out anytime soon. Him and his false teeth will be there as long as he wants to be.
Yo, I might have to become a carpetbagger for Texas.
for Tyler, Texas specifically.
Just Tyler, Texas, man.
Like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Seriously. Have you seen this guy? He can just keep his fucking teeth in your fucking
vote. Look, even if he kept all his teeth in, what's going on in his head is just an old dead tooth rattling around inside that empty skull of his. I mean, he has got to be the dumbest person in Congress, bar none. I mean, remember, Brad, if we plant enough trees on the earth, that'll change the rotation. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Jesus.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. So, Lynn Wood is like, nah, B, don't call me. Take my name out your mouth. Because right now, all the Kraken lawyers are being brought to heel in Michigan. And they're basically like, look, you're going to get sanctioned. You're in a world of fucking trouble. I feel like this needs to be a thing. This needs to be an absolute thing in all of those states. Any states that want to like fuck Republicans over, bring these cases against
them. I would guarantee that any one of them that has Democratic leadership is absolutely going to be fucking hammering these guys as much as they possibly can.
I saw, I want to say it was it Arizona? Mm-hmm. Arizona Secretary of State was like, y'all might want to go ahead and do an investigation into Trump. Like, oops. for election interference, right? Like, they're not fucking around, man. Like, you pissed them off. You really pissed them off.
Well, gee whiz, fucking inciting people to levy death threats against civil servants. Who'd have thought that could have backlashed on us in such a predictable and obvious way?
I couldn't have seen it coming.
I thought these people would just roll over and die. Fuck me then, I guess. Jesus.
Well, I mean, Brad, look, I mean, you're really not with it, man. I mean, clearly you couldn't have seen the genius that is Sidney Powell in the Kraken. Remember when they thought that was going to really be a thing? We got the Kraken coming, guys. You better look out.
Well, it's confusing for me because the NHL just unveiled a new team in Seattle called the Kraken. So every time I see like, oh, the Kraken, I think they're talking about the Seattle Kraken. I'm just like, and then I'm always disappointed when it's these fucking assholes that are in the mix.
The fact that there's a spiced rum named the Kraken that has to share the same tweets with Sidney Powell is a problem. Kraken's not bad.
I say let Linwood and Sidney Powell get each other into a ring, have a knife fight. Survivor can walk away unscathed. Loser dies. I think Sidney Powell could pull it out. She's already been discredited too. Then she could like go to the main event against Giuliani.
I'm okay with that. I mean, apparently Sidney Powell came out this week. There was a quote that she told Rudy Giuliani, I'm not here to kiss the fucking ring. Like,
that's amazing.
Like, go fuck yourself. I'm like, wow, you hate him too? Wow, dude. Stab each other. That's awesome.
Meanwhile, they're dragging down all of these, like, not quite Kraken-y, but still kind of went along for the Kraken ride lawyers. Like, apparently one of the lawyers who worked in HUD until she resigned, and then she somehow got brought on to this team. Like when this shit was going down, like she testified today, she was weeping in court because she realized, oh shit, I'm fucked, and I'm not famous enough to go run for politics. Nope. After the fact, I'm screwed.
Now you were talking about somebody saying that they're going after Ronna McDaniel.
Remember Jenna Ellis, who was like Rudy Giuliani's sidekick, who was in, like, she was a lawyer in the White House, but somehow, like, the most fucking MAGA'd up person that you'd ever seen. And she was making the rounds on conservative media, quite a bit during the election, like, brouhaha. And she apparently, like, went on whatever fucking pick your crazy right wing, you know, news channel, and was talking about how
Newsmax.
It wasn't Newsmax, it was somebody else, but it was in that same vein, like somehow lesser than Newsmax, I think, even. And so she was talking about how, like, oh, she's like, I'm leaving the Republican Party, and me and a couple of our friends we're gonna go out and create the MAGA party, and we're gonna fucking go after Ronna McDaniel and this side or the other. I'm just like, all right, cool.
Destroy each other.
Republicans in disarray. How come that headline is not being written right now? As Jen Ellis is talking about forming the MAGA party.
Look, it was inevitable, right? It's inevitable. Like there was, I wish I could find it. I want to say it's Georgia. There's a Georgia politician that Trump, I believe, gave an endorsement to. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. It was pretty funny. God damn it.
I'm assuming they did not win.
No. The race hasn't happened yet. Oh. But he endorsed somebody, and like Trump endorsed him, and the guy was like, I'm just gonna back away from that endorsement. I don't really need it. Like, dude was like, nah, I'm good, dog. Like, please don't say me. Like, shut up.
Good for him, I guess, for treating Trump like he's radioactive. I guess that dude actually wants a future in politics and not just, you know, a flash in the pan.
Yeah, but that's what's happening is, look, you're not going to get all Republicans or even necessarily a majority of Republicans, sadly, to back away from Trump, but you might get just enough to. Oh yeah, Trump endorsed VA. Trump endorsed Virginia. GOP tries to distance himself from ex POTUS blessing. Like, nah. You gotta keep that. I'm good over here. I'm good. I don't need you. You need me. But yeah, look, these guys don't want, they're scared to be tied with him, right? Like if you're a guy in Congress or a woman in Congress and you're already there, you're fine. If you're in a remotely purple area, you don't want Trump on you, man. You don't. Like just fucking stay over there because it's enough to fuck it up. This guy's running against Terry McAuliffe in Virginia.
Former governor Terry McAuliffe.
That is correct. Who's coming back? Like, nah, you know. And people, look, I know people think, oh, Terry McAuliffe was like a big Clinton person. Because I remember like back when Clinton, like back in like 07 when Clinton was in the primary, like Terry McAuliffe was like one of her guys. And he always came off as like a bit of a fucking weirdo. I was like, okay, I don't care for this guy. But when he ran for governor of Virginia and won, yeah, it turns out Terry McAuliffe was like a pretty good governor. Like yeah. he turns out he pretty much was. I don't think I'd want Trump stink on me if I'm running against a guy who was liked like a lot. And Terry McAuliffe, like he's coming in on a bluer Virginia than when he came in.
Yeah, but see, in what is a blue state now?
Yeah, solidly blue state. So yeah, he was like, nah, I don't need that endorsement, dude. Like, don't even worry about it. You keep that, hold that over there quietly. Shut the fuck up. So I think if you are a politician, you're trying to make it in these like purple states or these purple districts, you don't want Trump near you. You don't want any of this MAGA shit. You don't want any of this Q shit. You don't want any of that. Cause then you're immediately labeled a crazy person. Like,
oh, it's not on the docket, by the way. But it feels like as good a time as any to talk about it. So what in the new book that's going around, I can't remember who wrote it. But there's a new Trump book that's out. And apparently, what I said, right? Like, remember last week when I was like, if you're DeSantis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you were right about this. Go ahead.
Do you really want to have this poll where you're polling higher than Trump? Because that makes you a target. That puts you as public enemy number one in Trump's eyes. According to this new book, Trump fucking hates DeSantis.
You're right.
Reportedly. And the best part about why, do you know why he hates DeSantis, Jay?
I can take a guess.
Why do you think he hates DeSantis?
I would just assume it's just because he's popular.
No. Oh, no. He hates DeSantis because he knows that he made DeSantis and that DeSantis is just a fucking like sycophant along for the ride, which I find hilarious.
I mean, he's not wrong.
DeSantis. He's not. But it's so funny that he, of all people, would be like, yeah, this guy is a loser. He wouldn't have a political career if it wasn't for me. But I think he's kind of annoying, actually. I don't really like him all that much. He's kind of a dweeb, to be quite honest.
Look, if you feel – Trump, if you're feeling froggy, knife that motherfucker in the back politically, dude. Please, by all means. By all means.
God, what if he did? Like what if DeSantis started emerging as the Trump – as the Trump runner? The front runner.
The Trump runner.
What if he did start emerging as the front runner for the Republican race, and Trump's not really interested in, and if Trump isn't interested in running, but he just like knifes the guys that he likes the least out of the way,
that's fucked up. Just slicing Achilles' heels on the way by, like
look,
you're done.
Look, I don't like Trump, but if he did it, I'd respect it.
I don't know if I'd respect it. I'd enjoy it. I don't know if I'd respect it, but I'd enjoy it.
I'd respect the pure level of petty that would be.
Okay, that's fair.
Just knifing the shit out of your political colleagues, including a lot of guys who sucked a lot of your dick to get to where they are today.
Look, clearly not enough dick. He's like, you're supposed to still be below me. That's Trump's attitude. You don't get to suck and stand up. Absolutely not. You crawl out on your knees like those prostitutes I've been having sex with right after Melania every time.
It's just wild to me that you would think that the biggest ring kisser of them all would be a guy that he would absolutely love. Because there's nothing more that Trump loves than people telling him how awesome he is.
You think, you usurp the leader, you were right. See, I thought that Trump would try to co-opt him.
Yeah.
I didn't think he'd just straight knife him. But I don't know why I thought that, because he's such a craven piece of shit. Like, you're absolutely right.
I think he thinks DeSantis is a fucking dork.
Well, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
Because he is.
I agree with Trump.
Yeah. Like Trump's one of those guys that thinks he's like way cooler than he is.
Yeah, so no, that's
like he likes looks at someone who's an actual dork and is like, that guy's a fucking loser. He's gonna bring down my social standing. Can you imagine seeing me and him at Mar-a-Lago together? Like, people will talk. Trump is hanging out with that guy. How did he get at the cool kids table?
That's absolutely it.
He's such a dweeb.
It's so funny that slowly over time, everyone's Trump has turned into a weird American version of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's going to ruin my social standing. Yeah, look, it's one. Trump has no idea what social standing is. He's never used that term. Yeah, look, then I'm trying to find the name of the book. I have the story up. But yeah, it's I mean, they're talking about like DeSantis having to walk a tightrope towards 2024 presidential campaign. Yeah. He's going to have to, because in all honesty, if Trump feels the way this quote is saying that, quote, Trump fucking hates DeSantis, he just resents his popularity. If that turns out to be true, I mean, we don't know, but it's, I mean, I would bank on that is accurate. I think you're right. I think he knifes him in the back. Like, even if he's like, ah, I don't feel like running. I think he just knifes that guy for no fucking reason. Like, fuck him. Because, like, if Trump doesn't run, mm-hmm. the heir apparent has to be one of his kids. And I think anyone less than that, he just knifes. Like, who else could he possibly support? He's not going to support Eric ain't going to run. He's not going to support his coke-addicted loser son, Don Jr., who he thinks is an absolute fuck-up. It's only one left.
Well, I mean, again, he's not wrong about that. It's funny how Trump, when he's candidly lucid, drops a lot of truth bombs.
He does. Like, he does. Which isn't weird. Snorting, you know,
Adderall
or Benadryl or whatever the fuck he's on. Yeah, I have to imagine. I have to imagine. Oh, that's fucking weird. Trump is definitely wearing some sort of, I don't know, earpiece or something. Just strange.
Well, the dude is 78, so, you know. Well, not quite. He's like 75, but still, he's old. He's an old.
Like, man. He's got like a metal piece on the back of his head, like it,
sure.
Like a cochlear implant or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
Look,
you're an old man. I'm not surprised that your hearing's going, Donnie.
What? What? Yeah, I mean, his brain is already fucking oatmeal anyway, so who cares? Who cares if he can hear? He can barely speak. So yeah, look, I like the idea of Trump knifing DeSantis as he makes his way up. Like, Trump's got to hold his, if he's not going to run, he's got to keep that powder dry. Right, yeah. When DeSantis gets in the lead, it's like, oh, Ron DeSantis, the heir apparent, like, bow, 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 just fucking jail shank right to the solar plexus, man. Like, you gotta take
the bad news
out.
The bad news is that apparently Jon Favreau was like, I was bored and apparently self-loathing. So like, I tuned in for like a few minutes of Trump's fucking like sad boy rally this weekend.
No, never, never.
And he's like, I hate to say this. He's like, but he's talking like a dude who fucking has to run in 2024. Like, I feel like he has to do it. So. Or he feels like he has to do it. So
I mean, look, if he's around, I don't see why he wouldn't. But I don't think with having someone like DeSantis, who's clearly a younger, I think is going to come off as a more mentally together guy.
Shockingly, but okay. I mean, yeah, just from a not senile standpoint.
Right. It's an incredibly low bar. Okay. It's incredibly low bar. I understand. I think he might give Trump a little bit more a run for his money than people think. I don't think it's going to be like 90 to 10 blowout. I think it could be split a little bit for a minute. But if Trump wins like one or two states, it's over. Like, in the beginning, it's over. Like,
God. Ronald Reagan really fucked this country, didn't he?
Yes.
We would have never had a Donald Trump without Ronald Reagan. I firmly believe that.
That feels correct.
We have a presidential candidate, Ron DeSantis, without Ronald Reagan. because you can't.
Yeah, probably. That's probably
a certain level of competency was needed when you ran for president. Not that Reagan was incompetent, but he was not as experienced as a lot of the other folks that were running in that age.
Right. But at the same time, if that's the case, then you never had a Barack Obama.
I don't know, but Barack Obama was the ultimate competent politician.
Like, I'm saying running as far as experience.
Oh, sure. Like he was raw, but he was still like a politician. Like,
no, he was smart.
That mold and
was smart.
Yeah, it came off fantastically. Like Reagan was charismatic, but especially as time has gone on, like Reagan wasn't really.
He didn't know shit.
That great. Yeah.
No, he didn't know shit. Like, no. Look, the quiet as is kept. Poppy Bush should have beaten him. He should have. Well, like the Republican Party was like, I want this cool, slick actor versus this fucking nerd. That's all it came down to. I'll take the jock over the nerd. Because George H.W. Bush was really smart.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't become head of the CIA. And like, come on. No. Like, no, he was a better choice for president for Republicans. I'm not saying for the country, but
I mean, but by that matter, he was also smart enough to take a backseat to Ronald Reagan and just ride his coattails, which got him into the White House as well. So
yeah, anyway,
at the end of the day,
and then he paid for it by saying the truth and doing some statesman like shit, and the Democrats kicked him in the fucking teeth for it. By the way, great victory for Democrats. One of the worst things they ever did. Slamming Republicans on raising taxes when they absolutely needed to only made Republicans learn the worst lesson, which is never raise taxes.
Yeah, cut ever. Taxes always.
Always. And now we're like, that's all they want to do. Well, that's kind of our fault. Like, we hammered it home. By the way, I'm not saying if I was Democrats at that time, I wouldn't have made the same choice. I'd have fucked him up on it too. But like this guy said,
the problem was that we banged on him for raising taxes, not for lying about it. Like, right. like if we had talked about it, but like, yeah, no shit, he had to raise taxes because we need to raise taxes. Then that would have been one thing. But they were like, you fucking asshole raising taxes, you prick, you dumb piece of shit. We're not going to raise taxes. Let's raise all the taxes.
Like, surprise. We're full of shit too. Yeah.
What are you guys doing? You said you weren't gonna do it. Yeah, we gotta pay for shit. Democrats do.
Like what? Who says I don't want to raise taxes? Get out of here. That's dumb.
Who wants a balanced budget? Oh, 9/11. Oh no.
Oh, God damn it.
They're that win.
Yeah. Texas Democrats.
It's a wild story.
It is, and I have an opinion on this that may not be popular. Texas Democrats flee state to block Republican voting law. The move will temporarily paralyze the state's House of Representatives, which requires at least 2/3 of lawmakers to be present for a vote. At least 50 House Democrats boarded flights to Washington, D.C. on Monday. Now, these were for more voter restrictions. The bill that they're trying to stop would outlaw 24-hour polling places and drive-through voting, ban ballot drop boxes, and expand the authority of partisan poll watchers. The House lawmakers took off from Austin on private planes on Monday afternoon, the first time since 2003 that the state Democrats have left Texas to break quorum. Yeah, I remember when they did it last time. So
for those wondering, the reason that they actually left the state is because according to Texas law, they can be arrested and compelled legally to return to the state capitol if they remained in Texas.
That's correct. So here is my opinion on this. That's probably not popular.
Okay.
You're just delaying the inevitable.
Okay. So you're not wrong. However, I'm going to counter your unpopular opinion with
how fucking dare you.
Of my own.
Yes.
And that is.
Wait, you said an unpopular opinion of your own?
No, with a popular opinion.
Oh, okay.
The reason they're going to DC is so they can basically get in the face of fellow Democrats in the House and Senate.
Sure.
And basically be like, you guys are hanging us out to dry.
That part I do not disagree with you on.
Right. They know that they are eventually going to have to go back and suffer this vote and lose, and this legislation is going to pass. But they're not going to do it without marching to Washington and saying, look at what you're making us do because you guys are fucking sitting on your hands.
Kill the filibuster.
And not moving fast enough.
Right. And kill the filibuster.
Right.
Basically. Yeah. No, that part I don't disagree with you on. And that's smart politics. But again, this is not going to do anything as far as in Texas. This is delaying the inevitable.
No, it's probably not going to do anything in D.C. right away. Because again, the reason,
sadly,
you know,
yes,
yeah, it's not like, oh, these Texas guys are coming. We got to get our asses in gear. Like
this is not a really movie. How it works. Oh right, shit, I mean, Texas Democrats are coming. Right. Hide the bullshit.
I mean, like, get ready to get pissed off in about a month when Chuck Schumer recesses the Senate for like the entire month of August.
Yeah, they're
meanwhile we're living on borrowed fucking time. Like the Biden, these majorities do not have time to waste. Like, I understand you want to recess or do this or the other thing. This is fucking hardball time. Like, you're the Senate majority leader. I get it. Your guys might want to go home and do what they have to do, but you don't have time.
Yeah.
Right now.
I don't give a shit. Frankly, I'm not interested in, like, why do they need a break? This isn't school. You don't need a 2 month, like, go home shit. Like, plan your town halls on the weekends. I don't give a shit. It's work.
Yeah, there you go. Fly home on the weekends and just fucking work. Do that shit.
You could say, you work Monday through Friday, you know, most weeks.
Monday through Thursday. Friday.
No.
You don't want that?
Monday through Friday, most weeks, there's a couple weeks there that you get Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
And you go home, you do your town halls, people yell at you, or they cheer you, for being a piece of shit or a hero. And then you bring your happy ass back to work and you do damage, right? You kick ass. I need a month break. What are you, in elementary school? Get to work. I go to work. What the fuck? Oh, I need a month off, guys. Sorry. I've been
I'm sympathetic to having to recess Congress so that they can go home, because if you think about their jobs, they are supposed to be representing the people that live in their home state, and you can't represent their views in theory without fucking talking to them. So like, if you're going to go home and you're going to tour the state and do town halls and talk to your constituents and stuff like that to kind of get your finger on the pulse and see how things are going, then I understand that. I'm saying in this specific instance, you don't have time. Because there's a midterm election coming next year. The odds are pretty fucking good that the Democrats are going to lose one, if not both, chambers of Congress.
Right.
And so you need to get as much shit done as you possibly can. Perhaps even passing stuff to protect your majorities by passing some voting laws. How about?
Yeah, that would be the big one. That would be the big one. Fucking goddamn it.
So. But yeah, but no, this is fucking badass though. Like I said, this is cool. What did they leave for in 2013? You said you remembered when that happened. Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember, but I do remember them bailing. I do remember them bailing, but I don't remember what it was for at this point. No, it wasn't 2013. It was 2003.
Or 2003 is what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do remember that. And I had the same perspective then. I was like, oh, that's cool, but like, that's not going to stop anything. And then eventually they had to go back and they got kicked in the teeth.
Yep.
So, I want to say it might've been a gun thing, but don't hold me to that.
By the way, there's also anti-trans and anti-abortion legislation that's on the books as well that they are ducking right now too. So,
hey, Caitlin, got any comments on that? No, go fuck yourself. That fucking Caitlyn Jenner story really pisses me off. Like, I just cannot imagine somebody looking at that and be like, yeah, this is a person who deserves my vote. Fuck off. All right. This Week in Stupid, final story this week. So good. And I know what you're thinking. Good. You're only an hour and 20 minutes into the show, Jay, Brad. That's crazy. Oh, don't worry. Well, there's plenty to talk about with this story. Bizarre 7-point plan to reinstate Trump in days, not years, distributed at CPAC.
It's so good. Oh my God. So like you have to understand, number one comes out of the gate on fire.
Oh no, Brad! Like you're underselling it. You're underselling it. Number one is the greatest thing that has ever been written down. That means quite literally nothing. It means nothing.
But yet, despite that, it somehow gets more and more implausible with each and every bullet point. Let's start at the top. The 7-point plan to restore Donald J. Trump in days, not years, as you said, Jay. Number one.
And by the way, Brad, what was the statement you made offline? You said this is the greatest document that's ever been written or something like that.
One of the greatest historical documents. I hope that a copy of this has been preserved to sit in the National Archives. Like, you can go to the National Archives and you can see, like, here's the Constitution, here's the Declaration of Independence, and then here's the 7-point plan to restore Donald J. Trump in days, not years.
I can't wait for National Treasure 3. Yeah. We're going to steal the 7-point plan to restore Donald J. Trump in days, not years.
But behind like the 6 inches of bulletproof glass and fucking all this other stuff, so that future generations can bestow their eyes upon this truly monumental piece of parchment in U.S. government history.
This is why papyrus was created, Brad. Go ahead.
If you too want more details on this plan, by the way, you can go to trumpcard.patriotsoar.com. I highly recommend not going to that website with that. Otherwise, I have to imagine some kind of incredible malware.
I was going to go there.
I wouldn't recommend it. Like, at least at the very least, you want to be in incognito mode to do that. Number one.
Trumpcard.patriotsoar.com.
Number one.
Jesus.
Reveal the Achilles heel, Jay. Pull back the curtain on the horror show that is today's Democrat Party. Watch Pelosi melt like the Wicked Witch of the West. See the Black Caucus and other key groups flip unexpectedly. And watch the tables turn.
What? I've never seen someone write so much to say so little. One, they definitely misspelled Achilles heel twice, or three different times. Like, I guarantee they did. I didn't even know that to know that this is definitely not spelled right. I can guarantee you it's not. Pull back the curtain on the horror show that is today's Democrat Party. One, spoiler alert. Guys, I don't know if people understand this joke. And this is a deep-seated joke inside the Republican Party that they think is so clever and is so smart and is so funny. They don't say the Democratic Party. They say the Democrat Party because it has rat at the end. And they feel like that's really sticking it to them. Here's the thing. Conservatives aren't fucking funny. That's a dumb line. Stop saying it. It's the Democratic Party. We don't call you the Republicans. Like we don't. I mean, I guess people do online, not like official documents, you dumb fucks. Because this is obviously, as we've pointed out, this is an official document, the 7-point plan to restore Donald J. Trump in days, not years.
Right.
Right next to the Constitution.
Yes. So
what also will cause the Black Caucus to flip unexpectedly? Well, see,
So that's what I'm dying to know. I'm dying to know what the folks at trumpcard.patriotsoar.com know that the people in the room don't know, that you're going to open this like Pandora's box and the Congressional Black Caucus is going to go, oh my God.
Like, standing over a box with gold light coming out of it.
Yeah. Like, you're like, we good? Like, oh, we're good. We're good. Like it's like what are you going to reveal that's like, oh my God, like I can't believe that Pelosi was doing this. Hakeem Jeffries, number three Democrat in the House. Did you know this was happening?
I did.
You're a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. Did you know that this was happening? Jim Clyburn, did you? You're the majority whip. Did you know that this was going on right under your nose, Jim Clyburn?
I can tell you what it is. A lot of people don't know this, but I can tell you what it is. They have evidence, and this is true, by the way. They actually have this evidence that there are conversations, there are texting conversations between a young Hunter Biden, the son of Joseph Robinette Biden
Jr.
Jr. having text conversations with somebody where he uses the N-word.
No.
Now, he's using the N-word in the GA version, not the ER version, because Hunter Biden is down, right? He's cool. And so I think...
Wait, are you saying this is passable now? I didn't think this was allowed.
No, it's not passable. I'm okay, just saying...
Just making sure.
No, Brad, don't do that. Like, don't. No. We'll slow down. Relax, Brad. Brad's like, we can do it. We can say it. Relax, relax.
Taking my cues from Hunter Biden.
I'm saying, just go outside, start yelling it off your front porch. It's cool. Hunter Biden does it. Why are you coming over here? Please stop punching me. No, that's just a joke. Brad doesn't live near black people. Come on. Would never. I'm not
Andy. Get out of here.
Well, that's true. That guy's a racist. He won't even do a podcast with a black person. I mean, how many weeks has it really been? Think about it. It's a classic dynamo behavior. So I think that's the best they have, is that in the past, the Democrat Party was a party of the Klan. I think that's what they got, Brad. I think that's it. I think they assume that the Black Caucus, the Congressional Black Caucus, is unaware of these facts.
So you're saying they're going to pull off the metaphorical hood of the Democrat Party and reveal that they were closely aligned once upon a time with the KKK?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, this is going to be a bombshell.
Yes.
I never could have predicted that anyone knew this.
Yeah.
I think you've nailed it. Truly the Achilles heel.
truly the Achilles heel to
yes, right.
to the Democratic Party.
So that's
just number one. That's number one.
Number two, witness a trusted conservative elected as Speaker of the House, and finally, I'm enunciating that with as it's described in the text. Finally, reveal suppressed results of existing investigations into election racketeering. I am 100% willing to bet that the people that wrote this at trumpcard.patriotstore.com don't actually know what racketeering is.
That's 100% true. That's 100% true. No, they don't. I can't believe someone wrote something with so many words to say literally nothing. They said literally nothing.
Who is the trusted conservative going to be that gets elected Speaker of the House? Because I noticed they say like trusted conservative, so it's not going to be that rhino Liz Cheney. Surely, it's got to be Matt Gaetz, right? It's got to be Matt Gaetz. Somehow, then Matt Gaetz will try to pardon himself for sexual abuse of a minor, and they're going to have to remind him like you can't do that.
He's like,
you're not the president.
But I went to trumpsore.blurg. I got Trump card. I got the Trump card. How is that not his go-to statement? Boom, card.
I mean, this is the Trump card. What we're reading from.
It's a perfect example of a Trump card, Brad.
Quite literally. So we're gonna once the hood has been revealed from the Democrat Party,
like a fucking Scooby Doo villain,
right? All of the Black Caucus is going to then vote for a trusted conservative to become Speaker of the House because they will be so beside themselves and they'll defect to the Republican Party to surely bring in
the party who called them niggers behind their back. Barely under their breath. Come on.
So number three,
Tim Scott will be like, "Come on in, guys. I've been waiting. We're changing everything.
I'm not the only Republican here now. Woo!
All right, let's do it."
Number three. Once you have the once these election racketeering shenanigans have been revealed, finally the record can be corrected.
I hold on a second. Election racketeering makes zero sense.
They're going to bring an election RICO case against the Democrat Party.
Finally, how long have we been waiting for this?
Finally, somebody is. But yes, number three, correct the official record, reveal that Trump legitimately won the 2020 election. Cool.
But okay. Okay. When? When they've been trying. Meanwhile, this is being handed out. This trumpcard.patriotstore.com is being handed out
again. The plan, the 7-point plan to restore Donald Trump in days, not years.
By the way, 364 days is not a year, so they still have time, Brett. They still have time. But my thing is, okay, you know, reveal that Trump legitimately won the 2020 election. When? You literally have MAGA lawyers crying on the phone, please don't disbar me. I'm so sorry.
I was so full of shit. I can't believe anyone believed me when I was arguing this shit.
You literally had Sidney Powell say, her lawyer basically say, yeah, only an idiot would believe that my client was telling the truth. Surely these people aren't that dumb. Yeah. That's my whole case.
Now he legitimately won, Jay. Like I said, again, I mean, he's going to be installed in August anyway. We're all waiting for that to happen. So this is just speeding up that process.
Yeah.
Number four.
Days, not weeks.
The Speaker of the House, this trusted conservative, drafts articles of impeachment for Biden-Harris. That's literally what it says, by the way. Just Biden-Harris. Doesn't mention for what. Just drafts articles of impeachment. Like, you don't even need a reason.
I mean, technically, you know.
I mean, you kind of do.
I mean, I don't like that dude's hair is a reason. That other one, she black, that's a reason. That's a reason for them.
A wild fucking, that's a wild, like I said, draft articles of impeachment. For what? Articles of impeachment.
Yeah, it's coming, baby.
The articles. Okay, cool.
They Number don't five. Read articles. Come on.
Number five. Citizen Donald J. Trump.
Daniel Day-Lewis. By the way, his greatest role. He will be playing Donald Trump. I can't wait.
He retired. Donald J. Trump is placed into the line of presidential succession behind the vice president by electing him Speaker of the House. So now the trusted conservative, holding all the power and have drafting the articles of impeachment, just steps aside. And he's like, bring in Trump. I was just keeping the seat warm.
Yeah, a lot of people in the Congressional Black Caucus are going to be quite shocked to hear
that. They're
going to
be super cool with that. Yeah, because again, you can't just – you have to vote for Trump to be the speaker. Like, it's not like you can just be like, we anoint him speaker now. Like, no, there'd be another vote that has to happen.
Well, there'd be so many black people in the Republican
Party. Right. I mean, all the black Republicans, all the newly minted black Republicans would be like, well, clearly – you know, we have to ride or die for, like, look, he's got two black people behind him in every fucking campaign event that he does.
It doesn't matter that those guys got arrested for trying to murdering a guy with a machete. It's fine. They're black and I'm black. And that's how minorities think. If I see a black do what I want, like something that I wouldn't do, I go, well, he's black and I'm a lemming. So, okay. That's how conservative white people see it. Got it.
So this is how we get speaker. So this is how we get Speaker of the House Donald Trump is by. You know, now we're going to impeach them, and now we're going to bring Trump in. Number six, Speaker of the House Donald J. Trump calls for a vote to impeach, charge, and remove the imposters Biden-Harris. So let's slow down for a second.
Imposters? Are they aliens? What are you talking about?
Well, so according to them, they're imposters, so we'll roll with their nomenclature. So clearly, the folks at trumpcard.patriotstore.com have never, not only have never read the Constitution, no. Obviously,
no,
but also were apparently living under a rock for the past 2 years to understand how the impeachment process works, because they think that Trump could be like, we're going to impeach him, we're going to charge them, and we're going to remove them all in the House. Like that. That's where all the
look, Brad, the Senate is bullshit now. And it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, I guess their thought process is that if we rewind and go back to point one, that there will be black members in the Senate that will also defect.
That will defect as well. Okay,
and maybe even some of the whites, right? Because they will have seen the truth of the election racketeering. Did they own one of the election companies? What are you talking about?
Look, I mean, like, this shit is going to be so serious. Like, this is going to be literally like the Congress version of the Ark of the Covenant opening at the end of Raiders. Like, that's literally what's going to happen.
Yeah, Nancy, the part where Nancy Nazi gets their face melted off. Is that part?
Nancy Pelosi's head will explode somehow. Like it's all going to happen. By the way, we're glossing over one of the coolest parts of this whole plan, is that you're somehow going to impeach Biden and Harris simultaneously.
Not a thing.
Because unfortunately, a huge monkey wrench in their plan is that, let's say somehow you impeach Biden, and somehow beyond like the air of all that is rational, he gets removed. Harris becomes the president, and she just appoints another vice president. Like, it's not like that. You just, well, it's as we said before, it's not like everyone in government just takes a step to the right.
Right.
And, like,
now, Trump doesn't become the vice president. Right. So stupid.
Well, I was the Secretary of Defense, but now I guess I'm Secretary of State. Like, oh no,
I don't want this job.
Or no, sorry, it would be Patrick Leahy going from Senate pro tempore to becoming Secretary of State overnight.
Awesome.
Yeah, awesome. This is great.
Lloyd Austin
wakes up and he's in the Senate one day and is the oldest member of the Senate, or longest serving member.
Like,
of
the wait, what? That's right, buddy. Get in there.
Because that's how the government works. Yep.
That is a really good point, is you're not going to fucking impeach and remove the president and vice president at the same time. Hey, yeah. I don't know if people know, there's a whole thing about fucking Agnew, Spiro T. Agnew, and Nixon, this exact same scenario. They could not remove them both at the same time. Yes, they removed Agnew first.
They purposely got Agnew first because they couldn't imagine what it would be like if he was president.
Right. So they tried to get him out of there. So, like, yeah, you don't get a chance. I mean, this is why this rule exists. You can't just turf them both out and then just take over.
Double impeachment, Jay. Double impeachment. Hmm. It's double impeachment time. That's how this works.
Well, look, this is days, not years, baby. Like, we don't have a lot of time.
We don't have time to waste. The coup de grace, number 7, duly impeach, charge, and remove. I feel like you should have an Oxford comma in there. I'm upset that it's missing. Duly impeach, charge, and remove Biden Harris, whereby rendering all acts of said imposters while in office null and void and of no effect. Then duly elected Donald J. Trump resumes his rightful place as the U.S. president. So, hey, that $1,400 that you guys got a few months ago, somehow it's going to get pulled out of your bank account and back into the government coffers.
Null and void, baby.
Because we null and voided it. Yeah. It's gone. It's gone forever.
So, how many days, not years, do you think that – how long is this going to take, Brad? Like, what month are we talking about?
9 days.
Nine days from now.
We can get it done 9 days.
9 days.
Huh. Let's make it happen.
All right. I want to see them put this into full swing. Like, I look.
I want to see the guy that wrote this. And because I have to imagine, as he's sitting at his computer typing this out, like typing it out, like fucking proofreading it, like going back and forth, like making sure. I'm sure he has a stack of legal textbooks to confirm that all the stuff that he's suggesting is possible. When he was done,
what was he consulting with? National Treasure 1 and 2?
A bottle of Thunderbird.
When he was done, I mean, really.
When he was done.
Jesus.
He took a step back in his chair and he looked at this and he smiled to himself and he said, "I'm a fucking genius."
Yeah. Yeah. And then he put it up on patriotsore.com.
Trumpcard.patriotsore.com.
Well, I mean, that's a subdomain, Brett.
come on. This is incredible. Like I said, I thought that when number one, like when you read number one, like you're just like, holy shit, like this is incredible. And then somehow it gets more incredible, especially when you start applying like laws and
right and reality into it, right? It's a fucking problem.
It completely blows it up. Some folks in the Discord were like, they're gonna try this. I'm like, I mean, they can try it, but like,
they're definitely, I have no doubt that they will definitely try to whether he runs or not, I think they will definitely try to push him as Speaker. I think they will.
Yes. Yes. That is one thing that he will try to do. What's hilarious is that, again, even as Speaker, people like, oh no, if he's Speaker, that'll be terrible. Like, it really won't be. Like, my biggest fear is of him Speaker is that somehow someone try to kill like Biden and Harris simultaneously.
Yes. That 100% is something to worry.
Yes. About. Because Trump would try to bring articles of impeachment and Democrats would be like, you know, like we still have the majority, right? Like, you know, we're
and,
still here.
And then
like,
he'll advocate for this shouldn't be the law. Like, cause he's an authoritarian. Like he's a fascist. Cool.
That's fine. There's this thing. It's called a constitutional amendment. You need 2/3 of states to say that this is going to be different now. Have fun.
Yeah. Good luck with
all. Have fun with the first constitutional convention in 30 years to decide if we should just rip up the impeachment law that's on the books. Let's fucking do it.
So that you can be president again.
Right. So you can be president.
Yeah. Get the entire fuck out of here.
Listen, while you're there talking about this, can you maybe scratch out the 22nd, I think it is, amendment that says that you can't be president for more than 2 terms, and then instead make the Trump amendment that says president for life if you want to be, and then your kids.
And then your kids. You get to choose the kid only if she's got a proper cup size that you're into.
Like I said, that's the thing that blows my fucking mind the most is there are actually people, like, as much as I like any Democratic politician, as much as I like Barack Obama, as much as, you know, I like anyone that could be elected president on the Democratic side, I would never in a million years advocate for them to be in office for longer than 2 terms. Like, 2 terms is fine. It's perfect. It's the correct amount of time at a maximum. There are a appreciable number of Republican voters who, if Trump was like, yep, I'm king now, they'd be like, woohoo, like, go for it.
Yeah.
Like,
no, they don't believe in democracy, dude. They fundamentally don't believe in democracy. And they don't believe in it the second it's convenient for them. The correct. Second it's convenient for them. Yeah. Love or leave it, America. Our guy. Yeah. He should be king for life.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. They don't believe in, like, but that's conservative.
I think those British fellows might have been onto something back then in that day. Oh, you mean that country that we fucking fought a war against to get away from the monarchy? You think that they had good ideas now all of a sudden?
It didn't work for them, Brad, but it might work for us.
It might work for us.
Yeah. I mean, look, Trump being president for life is like a joke. I'm like, what is that, 6 months? Like, come on, dude. Yeah. All right, buddy. So, yeah, look, I think it's hilarious. This is, like you said, it's one of the greatest living documents. I hope they update it every year with a new step. I really do.
Like I said, they can add sub steps. Like, they can add like 6.A, like, just to flesh things out a little bit, just to help us, because I would imagine that quite a few folks that man the site over at trumpcard.patriotstore.com are probably premium members of the Look Forward Political Podcast and are listening to us right now. They're like, these guys don't understand the genius of the plan. So we're going to write sub steps so that we can explain how all of the shit works so that their pea brains can fucking understand the majesty that is this fucking plan to get Donald Trump back in office.
And by the way, if they are listening, and I know that they are, if you just want to do an interview with us, we would love to find out more about trumpcard.patriotstore.com and how you think this is going to work. I would love to hear. I want to hear it from the horse's ass's mouth that wrote this. I do.
Here's my question. So, like, amid the many questions that I've had about this thing, here the part that I understand the least: why do you have to get like a pre-Speaker of the House to come in to like do something and then step aside for Trump to come in? Like, why couldn't you just bring Trump in that first step and have him just and have him just you know, correct the record and reveal the election racketeering?
Well,
and
maybe they want to have that step in between so that they can like build confidence with all these new founded Black caucus members. Right?
Yes.
Like, just so you know,
indoctrinate them to say it another way.
Right. All sorts. Yeah, spoiler alert, guys. They're probably Black Protestants, so it's not gonna work.
Or even these guys are smart enough to realize that Trump is lazy as fuck and wants to be Speaker for the minimal amount of time possible.
Yep.
Not have to do any actual work.
Yeah. Well, and they don't really want him to be Speaker because they want to do the minimum amount of work because he is incapable. Right. So, yeah, I think that, you know what? I think that's actually, that theory is probably the correct one, which is keep him in for one day, 5 days max. We got to get him to the presidency so he can
for like, sit not on even his a ass. Day, like an afternoon. Like he's in there like, all right, impeach, charge and remove. And then like it happens immediately. And now he's the president.
Thank you.
That's how that works.
Jesus Christ. I've been missing my two ice creams a night. Two scoops. Classic Trump. Yeah.
I miss, like I said, you guys don't realize how good the White House kitchen is. Better than Trump Tower, better than Mar-a-Lago. They know how to burn a steak to perfection.
Who's laughing now, Melania? You said I was crazy. You were going to leave me, but now you get to be president's wife again for another 8 or so months before I die of a hamburger heart attack.
I need to put a basketball court back on the White House. I tore it up, but I need it back because my son is like 6'10" now, and it's crazy.
He's a giant. I think his head's full of cyber. I don't understand it. Confuses me. He looks like Putin. I don't get it. Yeah, Putin's that kid's real dad.
I don't know. The recent pictures have definitely shown him taking a more Trumpish.
No, he did. He fucking Donald Trump. I try to give that kid credit. I mean, he's fucked. I hope that guy turns out to be like fucking Ronald Reagan Jr. Right? He's just like hardcore liberal, man. Like
it'll be amazing.
Yeah. Like, ah, look at that. Turns out. All right, that is it for us. The 7-point plan to get Donald Trump back in the White House in days.
In days, not years.
Not years. God bless that piece of toilet paper that was printed. All right, that's it, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.